Hi, friends, and welcome to the By Faith Podcast. My name is Christine Hoover, and I'm so glad you're here. This season on By Faith, we have been talking about the ins and outs of vocational ministry. I hope you've had an opportunity to pick up my new book, How to Thrive as a Pastor's Wife, and begin reading. And I would love to hear from you. What is resonating with you? What is helping you? And even I would love it if you left a review on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever you purchased the book. If you haven't yet gotten the book and maybe you aren't such a big reader, I do want you to know that the book is available as an audiobook as well. I had the wonderful privilege of being able to narrate my own book. And the whole time I recorded it, I kept thinking about people like you sitting across the table from me and listening and chatting together about all things ministry. So I hope if you love listening to books instead of reading them, you'll grab a copy at the link in my show notes. Here's another opportunity I want to put on your radar. Friends, Lifeway Women has chosen to do my Bible study, Seek First the Kingdom, for their online Bible study. I am so honored by that. The online Bible study with Lifeway is free. You just purchase the workbook and they send you links each week for the teaching videos. So that means that you can do it as an individual or you can gather others and go through the study together. Registration for Seek First the Kingdom begins March 22nd. So this is a perfect time to get a few friends together and plan to start the study with me and with Lifeway on April 21st. I put a link to all the information about that in my show notes. Okay, friends, I am so thrilled to welcome my guest for today's episode. Her name is Natarsha Roberson. Natarsha and her husband James planted a church 8 years ago in Brooklyn, New York. So I picked her brain about church planting and specifically about boundaries in church planting. Because as any of you church planting folks know, church planting starts out as all consuming and we slowly have to put boundaries in place over time for our spiritual, emotional, and relational health. Natarsha shares some really practical boundaries that she has in place, and I think you're going to find it all super helpful. So here, friends, is my conversation with Natarsha Roberson. I'm so excited to get to talk to Natarsha Roberson. I said
yes,
it right.
Yes.
Welcome to the podcast, Natarsha.
Thanks so much, Christine. I'm so excited to be here. Honored to be here. I was going to say, you have been just inspiration for me and in my church planning journey, really a hero in this thing. Oh. And so I just thank you so much for your obedience to what God has called you to do, because you have really blessed me as a church planning wife. So thank you so much.
Thank you for saying that. That's very encouraging to me. I love, love, love getting to talk to pastors' wives and church planning wives. And you've been on my list. I told you this before. You've been on my list for a long time. So I'm really excited to get to know you, get to know your story, and excited for my listeners to get to hear from you. So will you introduce yourself first and tell us about your family and your church context?
Yeah, sure. Well, my name is Natarsha Roberson, and I've been married to my husband. This year will be 19 years, and I'm a church planning wife. And I have three beautiful daughters. Faith is 12, and that's my diva. She's everything creative and does all types of things, does hair, does art. So that's my oldest. And then my middle is Leah. She is my athlete. She plays soccer and she's a homebody. So that girl could stay in this house all day, every day. And then I have my youngest, which is 5. Her name is Sophia. Funny story, Christine, the way that we know each other is a young lady named, or a wise woman named Kathy. She came down here actually to do a conference, and she went around the circle and she said, go ahead and tell your name and how many kids you have. And at the time I only had 2, but when I went around the circle, I said, I had 3 kids. And I said, I'm so sorry. I only have 2 kids. A week later, I ended up being pregnant. And so I told Kathy, and Kathy said, you basically prophesied your child into being. And so that's where Sophia came in. She is 5 years old. And my husband always says she's either going to be a world leader or a gang leader. Because that joker, she is like no one else that we know. And so that's my Sophia. And so we planted, we actually moved here 9 years ago and planted the church 8 years ago. We actually took a whole year of just kind of getting to know Brooklyn, New York, and just kind of understanding the culture. And then we planted 8 years ago. This will be the 8th year. And the cool thing is we started off our church at a 4 o'clock service. And so we were like, a church wanted us to go into their church and be there. And they said, 4 o'clock. And so we said, oh, this will probably be like a year that will be 4 o'clock service. 8 years later, we still had a 4 o'clock service, and God has just brought people at the 4 o'clock service. And then just this past month, Christine, we opened up our second location. So we finally have a 10:30 service.
Wow.
And we are super excited, because in the city it's very different, where to buy something here is millions and millions of dollars. And then also to rent is very expensive. So it's hard to find a church location in the city. And so we have two different locations. We finally have a 10:30. And I finally get to get my Sunday nap. So super excited. That 8 years, we've been doing 4 o'clock. Like, I'm like, this is a weird time for families. Cause we actually have 85% singles, urban professionals, around average age is 28. So we finally get to have a morning service where I get to sleep after church.
It's so funny you said that, because that is a date on my calendar, Sunday afternoon nap. every single week.
No way.
Yes. And so when we were going through COVID, we had to move our service to the evening because we don't have a building either. So we were using another church sanctuary. And the lead up to an afternoon church service is so long.
It is. What do you do with your time? You know, I feel like I'm cleaning my house the whole time until...
like nervous energy, and you can't take the nap. You're so right.
You cannot. And then you get home and then you're preparing for school.
That's right. So you're saying y'all have two locations, meeting at 10:30.
We have two locations, meeting at 10:30 at one location, actually a jazz club. And then at another location, at 4 o'clock at an existing church.
And tell us the name of the church. I don't think you've
Bridge
said it yet.
Bridge Church.
In Brooklyn, New York. Okay, so how did y'all end up there?
Yeah, so funny. We actually were in Atlanta at another church plant. And we really felt God calling us to kind of the next season for our lives. And we never thought planting. And the pastor there said, hey, have you ever thought about planting in, you know, maybe possibly in New York City? And of course, when my husband came home and told me this, I was like, oh, heck no, we're not going to New York City. But the funny thing is, when we dated, my husband, James, would always say, I think I'm called to New York City, because he grew up right outside the city, which is in Westchester, about 45 minutes. And he always said he felt called to the city. And I said, I don't know if I'm the one for you, because I'm not called to New York City. And so there was always kind of this thing where he felt called. And then 10 years later, we're in Atlanta, and then an opportunity comes. And so my husband comes up here and visits, and he calls me and he says, Tarsh, I think God is calling us here. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I'm telling my girlfriend, I don't want to go to New York City. I'd actually rather go outside the country. I'd rather go to Africa and plant a church there, but I did not want to go to the city. I knew about the city because my grandmother lived here. She had gotten mugged. So I had kind of just even some trauma there from the city, but there was nothing about the city that I was excited about. Mm. And it wasn't until my girlfriend said, Tarsh, I know you don't want to go, but if it's in the center of God's will, that's the safest place. And so as I started praying that, and he started praying, you know, because we weren't going to make a move until we were both on the same page.
Yeah.
And when he ended up coming back, I felt so strongly from the Lord that that's where we were supposed to go. Mm. And right then and there, we said, you know what, we need to start making some shifts to get to Brooklyn.
Wow.
And we talked about it, I think, in November. We ended up moving in February to New York City. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's ours was quick, but that's quicker.
Yeah,
I'd love for you to speak to the wife who's listening, who is, I think so many church planting wives, they were a little hesitant when their husbands, it's usually the husbands who have the idea.
Yes.
And they're like, I don't know. Can you speak to that woman who's listening?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's scary. It's scary to know, what God is calling you to do. In this season, but I do encourage you to take some time just to pray and talk to other people who are encouraging voices, who can really give you perspective during that time. Because I know for me, it was just like, it's a no, and I'm not going, no. But when I spent some time in prayer by myself, mm-hmm. but also talk to other people, but also spend some time with my husband. This wasn't an easy decision. And so it was really good for my husband also to take the time with me to know it's going to take some time for me to get there if this is what God has called me to do. But if it's what God has called you to do, God will make it clear and mm-hmm. plain in his timing. And so allow God to do his work in your heart. So that he can confirm that this is what you both need, because it's a call on both of you.
Yes.
It's your husband and your wife, the wife, and it has to be both of you. And if there's some hesitancy, a little hesitancy is okay. But if you're still have the sense of you don't want to go, then you don't want to just get up and go. You guys still need to get some time to get with other couples, other planters, hear other people's stories to kind of get that confirmation from the Lord for you too.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good word. And you said y'all are 8 years into the plant, which makes you, I mean, you're not really planting anymore. This is an established church, which
yes,
praise
yes.
the Lord, he has done that. But you have experience. A lot of church planting wives are at the very beginning. That's when they're looking for resources, right? And so I would love for you to speak to the church planting experience about what you wish you had known before you went in, especially planting in such a big city like yeah. Brooklyn.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the first thing would be just understanding or really navigating and understanding what city life is before you get here. Mm. I had no clue. And so I knew of New York, but I didn't know the ins and outs of city life. For instance, I didn't know about how small the apartments were. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how much they were going to cost. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that the city is tiresome. It's draining. The subways. I didn't know about parking tickets and that you don't, a lot of apartments that you don't regulate your own heat, laundromats. There's so much that you need to know before you're going into the city. It's key before you get here. Quick story. I didn't know about bike lanes in the city. And I was in my car. My husband was coming out because we were going to go look at an apartment. And I was a little frustrated at the time because we were going to be late. And so I flung open my door and a biker hit my door, fell off, and almost got hit by a car.
Oh,
I kid you not.
Kid
you not. I had no idea about bike lanes. And so I didn't look. I didn't look to my left. And so at this moment, I was like, oh my goodness, this guy could have died. So it's things like that where I just wish I would have known more about city living, yeah. How much the apartments are. Our first apartment was 600 square feet. I had 2 kids, 3 and 4 years old. And there was no sun coming anywhere within this apartment.
Uh-huh.
And we were there for 3 years and we were paying $2,500 a month.
Oh my gosh.
It's crazy. So I definitely think you need to do your research.
Yeah.
Know the city that you're going to. The second thing I think I would say is just connecting with some pastors' wives and their husbands and talking to them and asking them, like, what are some of the great things about the city? But what are the things that aren't so great and how do I prepare for them?
Okay.
I think that's super key. And I think also understanding urban life or city life that you need a break from the city. The city, like I said, is draining and you need to escape sometimes from the city because it is such, I mean, this is the city that never sleeps.
Mm-hmm.
And I just actually went on a vacation and I came back. And once I got off the plane, your heart starts going because you know you're back into a city that just keeps going and keeps going. And so you've got to realize that being in a city like this, you need to take some breaks.
Mm.
You need an escape from the city sometimes. So that's what I would say. But I think the biggest thing is talking to other pastors that have been here who have planted and getting the lowdown on the city before you get
that's
here.
Good. That's really good. I was just talking to a church planting wife the other day. They're about year 3, maybe year 4. And she was just saying how much she was struggling, was just so yeah. almost burnt out.
Yeah.
And we were kind of talking about church planting really so is all consuming. I mean, everything is touched by church planting in your life, your marriage, your family, your living situation, everything. And so we were kind of talking about how she needed a little more of separation now that they're where they are, their church is thriving, but she's struggling to kind of put in some boundaries. And that's really what I wanted to kind of pick your brain about today. Just how have you, now that you're year eight, how have you learned to create some healthy separation between church life and your home life, your marriage, your family?
Yeah. And I think it's very difficult in the beginning of church planting, because church planting is like basically another baby of yours.
Yes.
Because it's like you spend so much time trying to build this thing. You're trying to develop relationships, and it's constant. And so the merge of family life and ministry life is just constant. And the other thing is, when you first start, there's no one to delegate to.
That's right.
So there's this sense of like, I've got to do the children's ministry. I've got to do hospitality. We all have to, like, it's our family doing everything. And until leaders are raised up, there's always the sense of we're doing it all. And so that's where you kind of get the exhaustion. It's just like, we don't even look at capacity in our lives right now, because we're just doing it all.
Yeah.
And so that's the hard part. And in even the beginning stages of church planning, is that you don't recognize even your capacity because you're trying to do it all.
That's right.
And so as you grow, I think the blessing is that God allows you to raise up some leaders. And so then there's some, delegation going on there, and that's very more helpful. But I think for us, and we're still figuring out, we are reevaluating our boundaries every year. It actually feels like every month that we're reevaluating our boundaries, but it's key, I think, to first and foremost, make sure that you're having time with the Lord, because this thing planting, you can tend to think that you're planting, but not God's not planting. Uh-huh. And so it's often we've got to make sure that James and I, my husband and I, get time by ourselves with the Lord, but also him and I having spiritual conversations. It doesn't mean that my husband and I have to have Bible studies together, but we do have to have some kind of spiritual conversation other than ministry, so that we kind of can get that connection there. I think another thing that has helped with our family is even with our kids, we try not to talk about issues and concerns around them, which is hard, but we strive not to talk to them about them, because we don't want them to have the outlook on the church. And of course, it seeps out sometimes, but making sure that we have that healthy boundary of, let's talk about some great things happening in the church. And sometimes they will hear some things that are going on to just even see what God can do through it. But some of the harder issues, we strive not to put them in a situation where they hear those things.
Mm-hmm.
James and I, as a couple, we definitely try to have yearly Sabbaths as a family and as a couple. That's huge. And we say, you need to set that in the beginning of church planning. Some people don't set that. And I'm like, you have to set that out with your church. Your church knows that every year you're going out for about a month. And
for a month?
We go out for a month.
Where do you go? Everyone listening right now is saying, give me all the details. How do you do that?
Well, we this year we're actually going to Jamaica, which we're super excited about. Yeah, we're going to Jamaica for two weeks. But within that four weeks, my husband gets some time by himself. But typically we do all types of stuff. We visit people, but we just make sure when we put that on the calendar that our family knows that we're spending time together. So it could be different things. Like, we went to Virginia last year and spent some time with some friends. The year before that, we went to go visit family. And a year before that, we just make sure, though, that that is carved out. And we know that we're not going to be doing church planning or church during this month. And so and I know that's difficult, because when you first start a church, you're like, how can I leave? And some people can't leave that first year, and I get that. But as you build up leaders, that should be a huge goal of yours, to make sure that your church knows that you need that time to rest and rejuvenate yourselves to be able to get back into ministry. So that helps us a lot within church planning our church.
I mean, I could ask you the whole rest of the questions about that. That's amazing. We also, I think the advantage of church planting is that you design how the church is going to go.
Yes.
And that's a little scary because, you know, I think of it as like DNA, like we've kind of imprinted our DNA on the church. And that means both our strengths and our weaknesses. But we also get to design how we're going to, how pastors at our church are going to get time off. So yes. We also incorporated from the very beginning a sabbatical every so many years for 8 weeks. So we do that. We just don't do it every summer. But I think, isn't that kind of a rhythm of New York City anyway, that people leave in the summer?
Yes, for sure. For sure. And you've got to get out the city. Yeah. If you don't get out the city, you will work yourself. I mean, and this is the thing, this is a city of just working. And so if you don't schedule that rest in, you'll continue to go on. But we've just noticed too, though, when we're feeling exhausted, like even my husband sometimes will start getting cluster headaches. There's just different signs that you know that you need breaks. And early on, I'll be honest with you, we didn't schedule breaks throughout the year. We knew we had that sabbatical, but we didn't do well with planning out things throughout the year until it was too late. Mm-hmm. And I just encourage your listeners to really sit down with your family and kind of think through, what does it look like to have a rhythm of rest, a rhythm of rest, so that you don't get to a place of exhaustion and saying, throwing your hands up and saying, we're done with this plant. But that, how can you incorporate that yearly along with a yearly sabbatical?
Well, I want to ask you about that internally, because I think a lot of times our struggle is more giving ourselves permission to do that, or what will this person think? Or if I don't do this, then the church is going to fall apart. I think these are the things we think. So how do you, you know, speaking of boundaries, that's really drawing a boundary for yourself mentally to say, no, this is absolutely necessary and we're going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's much harder for my husband. I'm like, let's go, let's take a rest. I'm ready. But I also love ministry. And so I'm a type of person that, you know, you hear about some church planters' wives or church or pastors' wives that kind of are in the background. I like to do a lot of stuff in the church, more so leadership. And I just love church meetings. I could just be in a meeting all day. You never hear that. But so it's even hard for me sometimes to stop talking about the church. And Jay has to remind me, hey, I can't do it right now. But I think mentally for me, it's not as hard. For my husband, it's a little harder. And so I think it's important that in their elders meetings, that's a question. And they talk about just how are you doing? And do you need rest? And even just recently, if I can just be honest with you, this year, just opening up a second campus has been so exciting. And we're just like, you know, excited about everything. But at the same time, my husband's starting to feel the weight and the exhaustion of it. And he's starting to get a little bit of headaches. And so we're having to reevaluate even right now, like, babe, do you need to take a rest? Do you need to be at everything that's going on right now? And I think it's key that you have a great team around you that can step up, and for you not to feel guilty or feel the sense of I'm letting a church down.
Yeah.
Because this is God's church. And I think that's the other thing you have to remember, that this is God's church. God is going to do this with or without you. He's powerful. And sometimes we think in our minds, if I don't do it, this church is going to fall apart. Mm-hmm. And that's a lie from the enemy. And so we've just got to make sure that we are letting others know within our circles and leaning on them. Uh-huh. You know, it's, I think that's important.
I think it is a sermon in itself when the leaders say, I'm human and I need to take a break. I need a weekly Sabbath. I need to take time off in the summer. That is a picture to other people that they need it to.
Yes.
I think it's super important.
Well, yeah, real quick, Christine, real quick. I would also add, as a wife, I know every mom can't do this, but I take momcations. And so I just got back from a 6-day momcation. And what that is I'm able to take some rest away from having my kids call my name 24/7. And this is something that we implemented probably year three or four within the church plant, because a healthy boundary for me was to get that rest and to be able to just think. And so, yes, I just came back from a 6 day, but typically it's every 3 to 4 months where I just get a day or two at a hotel, mm-hmm. right down the street, right next to my house. But that just gives me that time to reevaluate and just be able to think without kids. Now, I know everybody can't do this. I couldn't do this when I had a 2 and a 3 year old. I couldn't leave my husband alone with my 2 and 3 year old, but, but at this point, I'm really huge on making sure that mommy gets some time away to be able to be as healthy as she can be as she gets back into the swing mm-hmm. of things, home life, but also ministry life.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. We did the same when we were early church planning. We'd save our credit card points and we would use that. Yes. You know, a lot of people are like, how do you pay for stuff like this? Well, we would save up, and it's an investment.
Yes.
In our sanity.
Yes. Yes. We budget it. We have to budget it.
Yeah.
Because if mommy's no good, nobody's good. So, so we've got to.
Yeah.
So I think that's very important for, and not to feel guilty about that, not to feel guilty that you're leaving your kids, but knowing that when you go away, you're going to come back and be a better mom for those kids, but also a better wife for your husband. You just need that time of break.
Yeah.
And we do a lot.
And people can't see you, but you are glowing from your 6 day.
yes.
You
yes.
are. I can tell.
I needed it. Oh, I needed it. It was so good. And I'm thankful to my husband that he could watch the kids. It was nice.
Yes. Well, can you, you mentioned earlier about adjustment and that you're constantly adjusting. You said, once a month, even maybe even more, you're having these conversations with your husband and you're adjusting. I think that is a really important thing. And I want to highlight that and talk about that because I do think that we have to constantly be talking about what's working, what's not, what do we need to do different, or else we find ourselves just completely run down.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So can you give an example of a time of when you knew that an adjustment was needed and how you talked about that with your husband and made decisions?
Yeah. Yeah. I would say, in regards to capacity, I took on a lot. You know, when we first started the church, I was the, Bridge Kids minister, and, was over that, the director there. And I was doing hospitality, and during that time, my kids were about 3 and 4 years old. And what I started to see within ministry is that I started taking a lot of ownership. So the church plant became mine in a sense. And I saw myself getting very defensive when it came up about ministry stuff. And so heated conversations would happen with my husband and I, and because I wanted to be involved in everything. But during this time, I felt God also impressing on my heart, this is a time that you really need to spend with your children. And that was difficult for me because all I knew was to do ministry. And yes, I had kids, but we got this church plant. And it came to a point and came to a head where I remember we were driving and we were in the car and we were discussing ministry. And I got very upset and I raised my voice because of the defensiveness of how I was feeling, because it was like, you're attacking me. And he wasn't attacking me. We were just having a random conversation. But at that point, I felt God speaking to me and saying, Tarsh, this thing is too important to you. You've taken this thing on as it's yours and it's mine. Hmm. And during that time, we actually had a long conversation on that ride back. And I really felt God leading me to stay home with the girls and really begin to focus my attention on my girls during that season. And that was hard for me because that's all I knew. But at that point, we decided I wasn't going to do anything in the ministry. And I was going to really focus. And it was tough and it was hard, but it was God ordained. And he wanted me in that season to pour into my children like never before. And so that was just one example of learning myself, seeing my sin, but also repenting and also being obedient to God, because he was calling me at this season, even though the church plant has started, even though the church plant needed somebody. That was the other thing. There's so many needs that you're just like, I got it. But God said, no, I will raise up somebody, but you're not doing that. You're going to focus and be home and give everything to your children. And that was the most important decision we could ever make. And that was a boundary that we had to set early on in our ministry.
Really,
and I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah. I think something similar happened to me as well. Very similar. And I remember the very surprising experience of feeling loss and grief.
Yes. In that. Yes.
Because I had been, yes. I'm just like you. I want to be involved. I want to be right there. I want to use my gifts in the church, and I feel ownership of it and all of that. And when God said, no, you need to step back. It's time. Yeah. Like, you've trained up people. We're good.
Yeah.
I felt like a little bit of loss in that and grief.
I did too.
And that surprised me. And no, I never heard anybody talk about that before, but I think that's a very common thing. So I'd love to know, when you did that, did you get any pushback? Like, let's talk about pushback from church members of when you set a boundary. So it could be, you said you're stepping back, you're not going to do these things. Did you feel the disappointment of people? Did you feel expectations and any sort of pressure? And if so, how did you navigate that?
Yeah, that's good. No, at this point in the church, I definitely didn't feel any pushback, which is a blessing. But I have felt pushback within our church, in the sense of more so just gifting, the expectation that people have on a pastor's wife, that she is to lead Bible study and be the voice for all women in our church. And that's not my gifting. I'm an encourager, and I love one-on-ones, and I get time with you, but I'm not a person that goes up front often. And that's hard for a lot of people in our church, and they want me to be something that I'm not. And I think I had that pressure to become what they wanted. And I found myself getting very depressed because I couldn't be somebody that they wanted me to be. And so that was a journey. And it still is a journey, of really allowing who I am. And then, the other thing is, you see other pastors' wives, and you're like, look at her and look what she's doing. And there's a wrestle there of, but I'm not called to do that. And you really have to rest in, and honestly, every day saying, Lord, I am beautiful, and I am who you've made me to be. And that's a great thing. And I don't have to be like that pastor's wife. And even though people in my church want me to be that, I can't be that. And so that's a wrestle, though. I'm not saying that I'm there, but that is a wrestle, because you do see a lot of different churches and what women do. But I've really been able to use my gifting, and I've seen a difference in the way that I can impact our church than being what they want me to be. Mm-hmm. And so some of that has had to be conversations of, that's not how God has made Natarsha, and that's okay. But maybe God is going to bring somebody up and raise somebody else up to do something that you would like, but that's not me. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of been some of the conversations. But overall, my church has been awesome. They allow me to be like, I'm an athlete. I'm a baller. So I'm a totally different, typical, like, I'm not your typical pastor's wife. I wear yellow glasses. Like, I'm just not your typical pastor's wife. And so when people see me, they think it's, but it's like, no, like, I'm not in this box. Uh-huh. And that's okay, because I really want to be used how God wants to, to use me.
So. Yes. So when you said you were kind of saying things that you might say, are you saying that you've said that verbally to people, saying, that's not my gifting?
Yes. Yes. Okay. I've had to have conversations with, where some women have come to me and said, we'd like for you to speak at the women's event. We'd like for you to teach a Bible study. And I've had to say, I thank you so much. I am honored. But where God has me in my gifting, that's not it. But we will search out somebody who may be a great fit, but that's not who I am. And I'm thankful that God has made me the way I am. So yeah, I've had to actually have those conversations. Mm-hmm. But it's just helping people to see. I mean, of course, people have expectations of pastor's wives. They see other churches and other church pastor's wives doing, and they're like, you need to do that. I'm like, I can't do that. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, I definitely had to have those conversations.
But you can,
and they've gone well. They've gone well. I mean, rarely, you know, somebody has said that I want more from my pastor's wife, and I said I get that, and I have three kids, and I'm not able to give that, but I'm sure this church down the block has that. You know, in the sense that I can only give you what I can give you. I have a capacity. I love you, and I want to shepherd you, and I want to. But I may not be, this may not be the church for you. And I don't guess, of course, I don't say that all the time, but if they're wanting something from me constantly, I can't give it. There's a sense of disappointment and I can't be somebody that I'm not.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to talk about relationships, boundaries in relationships. I'm thinking specifically of women who want more friendship from mm-hmm. you. And you're saying, I have a capacity and maybe, you know, we want to love all people. I'm not saying that we don't want to love and honor all people, but we just kind of know this is a relationship that is not going to be deep friendship. How do you draw a boundary there that honors that person?
I would say first, as a pastor's wife, I think knowing what season you're in and knowing who your time is given to. Mm-hmm. And I think in the beginning of church planning, it was often that you felt like you had to give your time to everybody because you're building this church up. But as we've grown, I think it's very, very important that you specify in this season who you're pouring into. And so for me, we have something called growth groups, which is probably a small group that you have. I'm actually leading a growth group right now. And so those women, those eight women are who I'm focusing on. And I tell them and I spend time with them. So when they text me, I'm responding right away because I know in this season, that's who I'm called to pour into. The other thing is too, I'm also, my husband and I really spend time with our leaders. And so that's who we say that a majority of our time is going to go to our leaders. Now, if someone else within the congregation hits me up, I had a huge problem, Christine, in the beginning and still do. My husband makes jokes about it all the time. But I'd always say, we got to get up. We got to get coffee. And I would say that to everybody when they would come talk to me because I just felt like I needed to say that because they'd want to connect. But I'd say that and never get up with them. And so my husband's like, don't say that anymore. Don't say you're going to get up with them anymore. And I said, okay. So that's had to be a healthy boundary of mine. So when I meet people, I don't say that. I say, I'm looking forward to getting to know you better, but I don't say let's get up and let's get coffee because it's not realistic. And so I make sure to meet everybody. We just had a women's time the other day. I just told people I'm available, like in the sense that come up to me after service. I'd love to talk to you. But I never put out there the sense of here's my number, contact me. I make sure that it's more so within church. But I've never had situations where somebody has tried to be my friend and has felt like I've kind of shunned them away. I just haven't had that experience mm-hmm. as of yet. Mm-hmm. So
you're what you're sharing, if people have ears to hear, is so full of wisdom. For church planting wives, it's a unique experience.
It is.
And you are speaking, I mean, everything you say, I'm like, I've been there. I've done that. Mm. And there's just so much wisdom. So people listening, listen to what she's saying. It's so good. Okay. I'd love to know about boundaries in terms of, so you and your husband together facing the church, how do you relate together to the church? Are there certain boundaries that you and James have put into place mm-hmm, that have mm-hmm. helped you to be healthy together as a couple?
Yeah. So we have a weekly Sabbath, mm-hmm. which is on Fridays. And I encourage this works for us. So I encourage your listeners, but we actually have a Sabbath on the same day. And I'm a stay-at-home mom. And so on Fridays, it's his day and it's also my days. And so we actually have a date night on Thursdays and then our Sabbath is on Friday. And so that really helps. It doesn't mean that we have to spend every minute together on that Sabbath. But it's just really good because it's a day that we just don't talk about ministry and we talk about other things. So that has been really good. The other thing we've put into place too, is that people want my husband's time I mean, that's just the reality. He's the pastor. And so what we found is that throughout the week, we have, he goes to work, but after 5:30, he's home and that's family time. And so he kind of cuts off of ministry and then we have dinner and we have family time. And so there's just a cutoff there. But there's one day out of the week that we have found that has helped us to really help with even him having counseling appointments is that Wednesday nights is his ministry night. And so the whole family knows that daddy's in ministry night and he gets to do counseling. And that's where we schedule all his meetings, Zoom meetings right now, is on Wednesday nights. And so that is, we all know it's all an expectation. It's all a boundary that we know that on that night. And so any other night he doesn't do anything, but on Wednesdays, we know that he'll be gone probably by 8 or 9 o'clock to do ministry meetings. And so that has been very helpful for our family. Again, yearly, weekly sabbaticals, but also for us, we just got to get time with the Lord. Like I said before, we got to make sure that we're having time with the Lord, by ourselves, but also having conversations together. Yeah. What else could I say? Some boundaries that we have set. Yeah, I'd say those are the top. One other one I think that he has as a pastor has kind of put a healthy boundary for our church is helping people to see that he is their pastor and not their peer. Because what we have found is that once you get into this realm of that, when people think you're his friend, you know, and we're friendly, but when you get to a point where you don't think I'm your pastor anymore, you say and do things and you lose kind of the honor culture. And so we want to make sure that in our church that we have a culture of honoring, and that has really helped people to honor the position that God has called him into. And so, so we make that, we say that even in membership class that, you know, like, James, I'm your pastor and I want to see you thrive and I want to see you look more like Christ. And we're going to be friendly, but I'm just not your peer. And so, cause I want to be able to encourage you, but I also want to be able to call you out on some things. And I want you to know that I want to pass you in that because the goal is to look more like Jesus. So that's been a huge one for our church. And I think it has been so beautiful to see people honor and really, and you actually have to really cultivate this in your church because people don't know how to honor you. And or people don't even know like what that looks like to have an honoring culture. And so that's been good for us to even talk to our leaders about that.
That's interesting. That's really good. What about your kids? Because you're raising, you know, pastor's kids who actually we were talking at dinner last night with my kids. I don't know how we got on it, but just talking about that sometimes the pastor's family can be a little bit of feel like a public commodity.
Yeah.
And we were just talking to our boys, do they feel that? And they said no, which I was really thankful for. But I just wonder how you think about boundaries in terms of your children and protecting them from more of the difficulties of ministry.
Yeah. My kids they love church. Which is rare. I know just some people are just like, I don't want to go to church. My kids want to go to church every Sunday and we don't even have like a children's church for them. So right now we only go up to fifth grade. And so they actually have to be in service, but my kids have never really talked about kind of the negative effects of church, especially my oldest. My oldest loves kind of the stage. So she's just loving that her dad is the pastor. So I think everyone takes it in differently. I really haven't had a conversation with Leah, my middle, about it, but it doesn't seem that they've had many effects of us being the pastor and pastor's wife. And to be honest with you, they're more involved in a lot of the things that we're doing and they're asking, Mom, how do you do this? And so in that regards, it's good. I think for us, a healthy boundary though for them has been how to best allow them to be in environments to learn. So they go to church on Sundays, but because we don't have anything for them, we make sure to outsource and make sure that we're finding something like a Young Life for them to go to. The other thing that we do is we ask people in our church to disciple them one-on-one. We look at people who are mature and we're like, oh, they would be a great fit for our kids. And we actually call them up and say, hey, we'd love for you to disciple them for the next 12 months. And that has been sweet. That has been beautiful for our kids. And they've really enjoyed that. But knowing and noticing that they're just not going to get all of their growth and understanding from their parents. And we have to take initiative in that because let's just be honest, them going to church, they're going to pick up things here and there, but they need to be around other people or other believers, and they need to see it done well. And because we don't have that in our church, we have to make that happen. And so that's what we do to make a healthy boundary to make sure that they're growing.
That's really good. And this is probably a question I should have started with. We've been talking about boundaries the entire time. And yeah. I think sometimes we think, well, sometimes it can have a connotation of being negative or being harsh. Sure. How do you think about boundaries in a way that is, you know, I think God draws boundaries. And yeah. So how do you think about that in a way that helps you remain fluid in terms of, okay, I can make an adjustment, or I want to honor this person. And actually this boundary honors this person. It honors this relationship.
Yeah. So I just think of it as limits. You know, what do I say yes to and what do I say no to? And when you look at even, you know, the speed limit, the purpose of the speed limit is not to go over 65 because it's dangerous. You'll get into a car accident if you go over the speed limit. Of course, we go over a little bit. But the point is, it's a limit. It's for protection. It's self boundaries are healthy. Boundaries are protection for your family. It's for you. It's even for the other person. Mm-hmm. And so we've just got to make sure that we have limits within our church, within our family, what we will do and what we won't do, but they're good for us. And that's the thing. Like, if we don't have healthy boundaries, we'll burn out, we'll be exhausted, and we'll think that we have to be everything for everyone. But it's not until you have those healthy boundaries that you know what you can do and what you can't do. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be great for the church, but also for your family.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. When you said about the speed limit, I immediately thought about the bike lane. There's a bike lane for a reason, Natarsha.
Yes.
I just picture that poor person ramming into your car door.
Crazy. Crazy.
Well,
city life.
Yeah. I am so thankful for you, thankful for my brother and sister doing work in Brooklyn. I'm excited about what God is doing with this new service.
Yes.
So I especially am thankful for you sharing the wisdom that you've shared with us today. And I know it's been a blessing for the people who are listening. So thank you for joining
me. Thank you. Honored to be here. Thank you so much, Christine. I appreciate you.
Thanks so much for listening to By Faith, friends. Join me next week as I chat with Greg and Kelly Mott. Greg serves as the senior pastor at Houston's First Baptist Church. Greg and Kelly have been longtime friends of ours, and Kyle and I have learned a lot from them about being in the pastorate, but also choosing rest and renewal. So that's what I invited them on to talk about, and you're going to want to tune in for this one. Until then, friends, have a great week and keep walking forward by faith.